God is the kind of person, the kind of activity, he's saying, who is worth every last ounce you have of youthful energy, whatever age you are. So what Ecclesiastes is saying is, with all the energy you can muster, while you can, get God now.
Welcome to the God-Centered Life with Josh Moody. Our series is called Life is a Question Mark. And then you die. Today's study, Old Age Revealed, from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Josh Moody is senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. Thanks for joining us for the study. Josh, we're going to be queuing up the phrase, in the days of your youth, but this passage has value for those whose days of youth are in the rearview mirror as well, does it not?
Yeah, some of us like to feel we're still young. But yeah, whatever age, whether you are young or old, it's still important to think through how we should act when we're young, even when we're instructing others. Like when I was, you know, some people ask me, what would you wish you'd done when you were 18? Here's what I would have done if I was your age now. And so we can listen to the instruction either for ourselves or for others.
One of the things that young people like to do is travel. And Josh, you're going to be presenting your Yorkshire accent and even a little bit of French in this episode. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite versatile. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Here's Josh.
So friends, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Well, let's have a look now at this passage this morning. I'm reminded of a saying which goes like this. When I think of the next generation, I fear for the future of the world. That's sometimes what people can think about the next generation, isn't it? I mean, I'm just explaining the relevance now of this passage, right? I don't want to teach something that is pointless. So, relevance. Not making it relevant, explaining why it is relevant, right? So up in the phrase is, when I look at the next generation, I fear for the future of the world. And up in north of England, where my wife is from, they have a series of sort of jokes about this issue, which I'm now outlining to help you see why it's relevant. And those jokes often begin with the phrase, when I were a lad, and they actually have a different accent up there. My wife has a different accent from me. Now you know. When I were a lad, and it's a Yorkshire accent, and it's when I were a lad, you see. That was a different accent. I know you don't think you have an accent here, but you do, you see. I don't have an accent, you do. When I were a lad, and they had a lot of jokey sayings about how things are easy now for young people. So one of those sayings is, when I were a lad, we used to get up before we went to bed, you see. And when I were a lad, it were tough down the mines. There used to be a lot of coal mines up in the north of England. Still some, not so many. Or another jokey saying is about a clip around the ear hole, which is when, you know, in the old days, a little kind of disciplined slap around the ear. You see, a clip around the ear hole. And one of the sayings is, when I were a lad, my mum used to give me a clip around the ear hole as a special thank you treat, you see. Etc. You see, when I were a lad, things were, you young'uns think you have it easy. When I were a lad, things were tough. I remember going to a series of meetings with some fairly senior denominational church leaders a little while ago about the up-and-coming generation, and they were kind of scratching their head about this up-and-coming generation, of how difficult it was for them to understand what they were really about, which was amusing to me because at the time I was part of the demographic of the up-and-coming generation. And they were saying things like, the young people today are not really interested in institutions, as if they ever were, I think. But nothing corporate really turns them on, though Apple computers seem to manage it. They're bloggers, they were huffing when blogging was cutting edge. And denominations feel like CBS, you see. Or in other words, when I look at the next generation, I fear for the future of the world. Which was said by Aristotle. 4th century BC. Over 2,000 years ago. People always think the next generation is weird or different. Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. That's not Yorkshire, it's French. Or as Ecclesiastes has said, there's nothing new under the sun. You see, the next generation always thinks, and they always think the next generation is odd, different, impious. And so it makes you sit up straight and listen, I hope, when you consider that Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. He's actually suggesting that youth is the right time to be seeking God. See, what's going on here is that Ecclesiastes is concerned to get us past the idea that God is your insurance policy. You know, that God is for when you have gray hair or a deathbed conversion, maybe, or he's a sunset hobby. When you've had all the fun you want to have, then you can get God. And he's saying, God's not like that. This is not ageist. What he's trying to get us to realize is that, of course, old people should seek God too. He's not for one generation or against another. What he's trying to get us to realize is that God is like one of those things that you want to make sure you get to see while you still have the energy to do so. In other words, you know, say you want to go abseiling. You don't think, I'm going to wait to do that until I'm 90. You think, I'm going to do that right now. Or say you're really into parkour, free running in the urban jungle. You don't think, oh yeah, I'll save that till when I'm, you know, 105. That's a good time for that. I'm going to do that now. I'm going to make sure I get that done with all my energy now. You're only young once, they say. And Ecclesiastes says, therefore, make sure you invest every particle of energy you have in God. God is the kind of person, the kind of activity you like, he's saying, who is worth every last ounce you have of youthful energy, whatever age you are. So actually, this is not really about age. It's really about God. Who God is, what kind of God God is.
Josh will explain how this is about God in just a moment. But first, a reminder, you're listening to Josh Moody. He's senior pastor of College Church. We're located in Wheaton, Illinois, about 30 miles west of the city of Chicago. And if you ever find yourself in town on a Sunday, we would love to have you join us for a worship service. Right now, though, let's get back into the book of Ecclesiastes. Here's Josh.
God is not for shuffle boards or really long committee meetings. Not that God cannot turn up at really long committee meetings. I've seen him do it once or twice. It's amazing. But that God is the kind of person that is worth getting now, not an insurance policy. God is the extreme sport of the sporting world, if you like. He's the high-octane experience of life, if you like. So what Ecclesiastes is saying is, with all the energy you can muster, while you can, get God now. That's what he's saying. Now he's going to give two reasons why and one explanation how that's interwoven through this passage. Okay? So the two reasons why. First reason why. And I'm going to refer to something that the English call Zimmer frames, but I think that Americans call walkers. You know the things you push along when you can't really walk very well? They're called walkers. You know what I mean? Okay. And I'm going to refer to them in a very tongue-in-cheek and slightly risky way, because when you look down through this passage, you have no idea just how risky he's being. He's humorously trying to reveal old age for all its inconveniences. And I know I seem ridiculously young to some of you, but there's a difference between being over 40 on the wrong side than on the right side, and I find it. And I know that seems ridiculously young. I'm just trying to empathize, you see. So, as it were, in a title for this point about why get God now, I want to use this little phrase, walkers, those things you push along, walkers are not made to run with, he's saying. Look down at this passage. It's kind of shocking, some of it. Look at verse 2. Get God now, he's saying, verse 2, before. All this, the first sentence, then all the rest hangs on it before these things take place. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. And what's that about? Well, it's probably about the failing eyesight of old age. The sun, the moon, the stars, any kind of light. That grows dark as our eyes fail. It's talking about how the gloom used to clear up after the rain clouds passed, but it never does clear up now. It's all a bit of a visual fog. Look at verse 3. Get God now before, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. What's that about? Well, that's about failing physical strength. Some people think the keepers of the house, that phrase means our arms or our legs. And there are different views about some of these metaphors here. But my view, I think, in my view, the keepers of the house is more equivalent to bouncers at the door to clubs, if you like. That is, guards, strong men. They are the people who protect the house, you see. Even strong men are bent. That is, they stoop and they cannot straighten up. In other words, what he's saying is, even if you're a machismo, Rambo, tough guy, even you will tremble and stoop in old age. He's saying you cannot work out so hard that palsy won't make you shake. The grinders are teeth. They cease to grind because there are so few left for one to grind against another. And when he says those who look through the windows are dimmed, he probably means bad eyesight again, looking through the window, as it were, of your eyesight. Look at verse 4. Get God now before the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. What's that about? It's mainly about hearing. The doors to the street being closed is about the muffled sounds that come from the street when the doors are closed, being like the kind of hearing that is always muffled in old age. Particularly if you went to a lot of Led Zeppelin concerts when you were young. He's been straightforward. I'm going to present it as straightforward as it is. The sound of grinding fades. You cannot hear. And then when he says, one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low, he's making a heavily ironic comment on how sometimes, not always, again, this is generic, general statements, on sometimes how old people startle early in the morning at the slightest sound, but at the same time, they cannot actually hear anything too well. Look at verse 5. Get God now, before he carries on, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Now this is a little eye-opening, this verse here. These images, you see, are mostly about appetite for life. So old men sometimes can be afraid of heights for fear of falling or going upstairs or venturing in the streets and sometimes prefer to stay in. And the almond tree blossoms, you see, with a predominantly white blossom, indicating the picture of the white hair of old age. Now, some people's hair turns white younger and some people get really old and it never turns white. It's a general picture. The grasshopper dragging himself along. That is, not when they jump athletically, but when they attempt to walk. Their sagging, struggling gait. It's meant to imitate the painful shuffle of a very old person or some old people. And then when he summarizes saying, desire fails, that has an analogy in the original to the caper berry, which was meant to have been used to stir appetite or as an aphrodisiac. Look at verse 6. Get God now before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, which are all pictures about the precariousness of life. The silver cord. Life is precious, but the thread of life can easily be snapped. The golden bowl. Life is precious, but the vessel of life can be easily shattered. The pitcher at the fountain. Life can be renewed regularly at a spring of water. You can go on vacation or take a day off for the equivalent. But the means to renew can easily be broken. The wheel at the cistern. Life can pull up from the well of water new resources, but the wheel that pulls the bucket up from the well can be easily broken. In other words, get God now, because walkers are not made to run with. You've got to use all your youthful energy. Don't wait. Now, he's saying, before this takes place. He's not saying if you're old, you don't have something to offer God. Of course you do. But he's saying God is the kind of person with every particle of energy you have, however old, however young. It's for him. He's that kind of person. Run for God now. It's kind of eye-opening. He's trying to be humorous with it, some of it, I think. We have similar sayings about old age today. You know you're getting old when you feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Dialing long distance wears you out. Your fortune teller reads your face. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. When you decide to procrastinate and you never get around to it. When old age is always 15 years older than you. When you burn the midnight oil after 9 p.m. When your back goes out more than you do. You sink your teeth into a steak and the teeth stay there. And you can brush your teeth and sing in the shower at the same time. When God becomes a distant memory. You can't remember his name. Why he's important. Or you have the energy to do anything much about him. Now, this is not, again, telling you that if you feel like you're old this morning, there's nothing you can do for God. Old people are the precious resource of many a church, here included. Old people do wonderful things for God all the time, but such old people tend, typically, not always, but tend, typically, to be the kind of people who found God while they still could with their youthful energy. Not certainly those who deliberately forget him when they have the chance. This is why walkers are not made to run with. You've got to use all your energy for this kind of God. Get God now, he's saying.
That's Josh Moody, and this is the God-Centered Life. Josh, at the root level, this passage is quite poetic, isn't it?
It really is, isn't it? Beautiful language. Yeah. The Bible is filled with different kinds of literature, and here we've got some wonderful poetry.
Yeah. And the bottom line is clear, though. Waiting is a mistake. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about enjoying this life by being more aware of the next. And when we do that, there's a sense of that being easier for those who have a few years behind them, right? I mean, isn't it kind of the understood modality, the older you get, the more you think about the end of life and perhaps what's beyond it?
I suspect that's true. I mean, I'm not there yet myself. I'm sort of in the middle, so I don't know personally. But my guess is as you get older, you do think about death more, though I'm always surprised at how little anyone thinks about it. It's almost as if it's a surprise to everyone. And I think that's because God has set eternity in our hearts.
So we're not pushing aside old people here. In fact, Titus talks about older men training up younger men. So we're not devaluing those who have walked with God for many years, right? I mean, there's
no.
There's
well, the teacher is teaching the younger person. So of those who are older is to teach the younger, as the teacher in this book is exemplifying.
And so, how do we take this in when it says in the days of our youth, and we're an octogenarian, or have walked with God for a long time, or are brand new in a relationship? What is the value of in the days of your youth? Is this instructive for us to speak to others, perhaps?
Yeah, and it's instructive if you're young. I mean, so
sure,
it's so easy when you're young to think, I've got so many years ahead of me, I'll leave God till later, who knows when I'm going to die? And he's saying, no, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And for those of us who are older, let's be giving that message to those who are younger.
Excellent. And right on cue. If you have folks in your world who are early in their days of youth, we may have just the thing to help you have those conversations with them that will impact them well into the future. There's a delightful little children's song, Jesus Strong and Kind. Maybe you're familiar with it. Pastor and author Sinclair Ferguson has taken the lyrics of this song and created a wonderfully whimsical book full of colorful illustrations that lays out how Jesus is both strong and kind. Truths for any generation, but think of the joy you would have sharing them with your grandkids. This book, Jesus Strong and Kind by Sinclair Ferguson, is our offer this month. Simply go by GodCenteredLife.org to learn more. Next time, you're soaking in it.
It seems to me that today we need to take this idea of the pleasure of God and soak in it, for it is often the barrier to deep Christian devotion that we have a view of God as starchy.
Book of Ecclesiastes in the focus again when we get together next time. GodCenteredLife.org, resources for you, and this is your warm invitation to join us for the next edition of The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody.